Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. And you know, we come to you as live as we can possibly make it. I do travel, and so I come to my office and I make these a few days ahead of when I'm going to be going on traveling. But what I have in my heart right now, I really am inviting you to see if you can join me in a prayer commitment for our nation. I'm praying about what kind of commitment can this be. More will be made known to you as we go through the broadcast this week. But last Sunday afternoon at our corporate prayer at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, which we have at 3 o'clock, the desperate condition of our nation was made real to us, and that nothing can save it but an awakening to God. We're going to have a prayer meeting October 23rd through 27 here in Branson. We have it every year. This year we're changing the venue. I think there'll be kind of a newness to it all. And it's at the Hilton down at the Landing. But last Sunday, the Lord made us to know that we need to be in prayer before the prayer meeting, that He is drawing people to that prayer meeting from everywhere. But we have to be ready to work when we get there. And so, right now we are studying about a great move of God that came through some people that started to pray in Argentina. It came to its fulfillment in the great meeting Tommy Hicks preached in Argentina. Tommy Hicks, the man with the vision that we read on here last week, that's in the book, The Smith Wigglesworth Prophecy and the Greatest Revival of All Time. Tommy Hicks was the one that saw what's coming in the future. But this is about what happened in his own life and happened in the nation of Argentina. It's in a book I'm reading to you from it. And R.E. Miller was a missionary who was very unsuccessful, just becoming so disappointed with his powerless ministry after years and years on the field. He cried out to God, and God called him, as he completely surrendered, to begin to spend 8 hours a day in prayer. That 8 hours a day that went on for months culminated in a little prayer meeting God called, where three people came. And it ended with a lady hitting a table. I don't have time to go back all over that again. You can order the book from us and read it for yourself. When she hit that table in obedience to the Lord, it was like heaven fell. That night, they themselves had a great manifestation of the presence of God. The next night, people started coming to the prayer meeting. There was great revival in that town. And then it spread, and God sent them out. He sent them to the jungles of Argentina. He sent them to the cities of Argentina. They started a Bible school. And at this Bible school, there was a boy from the jungles who was, he had had such a burden of prayer. And he went out after the classes and stayed up late at night and just crying out to God. He didn't even know for what. And he looked up and he saw a star that seemed to be approaching, and it came to be an angel. The angel enveloped him. He got so frightened, he ran to get back in to the Bible school, the institute. And he pounded on the door was locked. When they finally got it open, he got in, and the angel came in with him. And the angel came and stayed at that Bible school for a long period of time. He would appear. He would give them messages from heaven. I'm picking up now on page 12. Meals were forgotten. An occasional sandwich or a quick lunch was sufficient. Sleep, unnecessary interruption, was scanty. As the group continued on in prayer, the visitor would manifest himself and leave another message. Many hours were spent in deep prayer and intercession in the mighty power of God. After the first week, the visitor did not come so often, yet the mighty presence of God continued upon all, forming a circle around the institute building for several yards. Strangers coming within that invisible radius remarked concerning the strange sensations that they had as they entered the presence of the Lord. They prayed as such as I have never seen a group of people pray. although there was little understanding at that time of the purpose of the tremendous waves of intercession. Yet hour after hour, a great cry arose to God from each one present for God's intervention. Students, teachers, and missionaries were bound together in diverse manifestations of His Spirit, weeping uncontrollably in deep brokenness before the Lord under the burden of the Spirit for Argentina. I'm thinking of our own dear nation, for America. Because the power and presence of God made the very grounds around a vortex of spiritual activity, we did not sit around reading and meditating upon the angelic messengers during those first months. The presence of God was too real, the work of the Spirit too vital, the Bible too important a book to make the prophecies a center. The Lord Himself was our center. Prayer became a strong, terrible crying out to God. And then he goes on to say how the visitor continued, but then the messages too took on importance. One vision, the visions began to speak of a great meetings in Argentina. One vision revealed the fall of one of the most powerful women in history, Eva Perón, the beautiful, evil, spiritist wife of the president, who had usurped more dictatorial power than her husband had. God was going to take her in hand and intervene to bring this nation unto Himself, transforming it from paganism and idolatry to the worship of the living Jesus. They continued to pray and to believe God. In 2 more years, God led them up to the place of His plan for victory, His plan for revival. And we've studied the background of it, the prayer of the missionary. We've studied the Bible school student. We didn't read everything that's in the book. It's far too much to read on this program, but you can get the book. We're making it available to you. But the Lord told him to send for an evangelist from America. They thought they would get Oral Roberts or someone of renown. They could not. They got an unknown revivalist, Tommy Hicks. But he himself, when he said he would come, received instruction from God as to what he was to do. And even this committee, who had had the angel, who had had the years of prayer, when he told them what he wanted, they absolutely said, impossible. Tommy Hicks had presented his idea of requesting a personal interview with Argentine dictator President Perón. Tommy, an unknown, unheralded, healing evangelist from the United States, wanted to request the use of a large sports stadium, radio, and press for an evangelistic healing campaign. Such a thing had never been done before. No one had even considered requesting the privilege of using such a large stadium. It seemed too preposterous. Even if one could obtain permission, there weren't that many evangelicals interested enough in the healing ministry to fill it. Tommy wanted a place that would seat 25,000. The committee considered that 2,500 would be overly sufficient. Tommy said he would not start unless a large stadium was obtained. Services of a well-known missionary healing evangelist had been solicited, but it had been possible for them to come, so Tommy Hicks was the man. The conclusions of the committee were justifiable, considering all things from man's point of view. Nevertheless, we just can't do it. Nevertheless, Tommy insisted on visiting the president. A provincial governor told this story in our hearing. We share it with you. When told of the impossibility and uselessness of an interview with the president, Tommy went to his hotel room to pray. He knew that God had sent him to Argentina and that he knew that his God was bigger than any dictator or government. So he decided to go see the dictator himself. High foreign government officials had been refused with Perón. How could an unknown, unheralded, unimportant U.S. preacher get an audience with him? But Tommy Hicks believed his God. Walking up to the Casa Rosada, the pink house, where the government offices were, he neared the door. An armed guard who served as porter stopped him, asking brusquely, "Who are you? What do you want?" Pastor Hicks carefully explained what he wanted, to hold a salvation healing campaign. The more he explained, the more interested the guard became. "Do you mean to say God can heal?" "Yes, he can, and he will." "Well," the guard said, "can he heal me?" "Give me your hand," responded Hicks. And right there he prayed the prayer of faith. The power of God surged into the guard's body. In a moment his pain and sickness were gone. Feeling the power of God, He felt himself all over. He said, "It's gone, it's gone." He said, "Come back here tomorrow, and I'll get you in to see the president." The next day, when Tommy returned, the same guard greeted him, then escorted him to the great door of the private office of the president of Argentina. The president greeted Tommy and his interpreter cordially, offered them a seat, asked their reason for coming. Carefully, Pastor Hicks explained that he wanted to hold a citywide campaign, healing, salvation, with full press and radio coverage. The president listened. In amazement, he heard for the first time of the power of God to heal and save. For Tommy was faithful to preach the gospel to him that day. At that time, the president was suffering from a more persistent and disfiguring skin disease, an eczema, which up to that time no physician had been able to cure. It had grown steadily worse, becoming so noticeable that Perón no longer allowed photographs to be taken. His ailment had, however, become common knowledge. Listening to the story of Jesus, the Son of God who heals through faith and prayer alone, the president asked, "Can God heal me?" Hicks said, "Give me your hand." Right there, with faith clasped over the big desk, little Pastor Hicks prayed the prayer of faith for President Perón, dictator of Argentina. The power of God flowed into the president's body. God did an instantaneous miracle of grace and mercy. Before the eyes of all, the skin of President Perón became as clean as a baby's. He was instantly made whole. Stepping back in utter amazement, he wiped his hands over his face and exclaimed in astonishment, "My God, I am cured." Opening his arms wide in a characteristic gesture, he gave Tommy everything he wanted. 25,000 seat arena, freedom of press, they didn't have it. Freedom of radio, they didn't have it. Freedom to hold a large meeting, they didn't have it. Barred doors were thrown open. The Atlantic Stadium, with a sitting capacity of 25,000, was rented. God began to stretch out his hand. Before long, it was filled. The services, the healings, the miracles that happened filled the arena night after night. I don't have time to read you all of them. They were amazing. One night it was announced the campaign would draw to a close. A multitude stood up, waved their handkerchiefs, and shouted, 15 minutes, let it go on, let it go on, let Hicks remain. Hicks remained. There was an overflow crowd. They had to get a bigger stadium. They had to get a stadium for 180,000 people. We'll pick it up tomorrow, but in the meantime, you can order your book and have it yourself. 1-800-972-3447. Please send us your name and get on our mailing list so we can write you about how God's calling us to pray for our country. Call 1-800-972-3447. 1-800-972-3447, or write us at Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615, or go on billybrim.org. But folks, our nation is in a crisis. We're having a prayer meeting coming up. But until that prayer meeting, God is calling us to pray. Can you be a part of it with us? This is Billy Brim giving you a special invitation. I want you to know that this country can be saved, but only with an awakening to God. Shalom, shalom.